We are in the middle of a series. This is part three. This is a six-part series. And in this sermon, we are answering the age-old question, why am I here? And we have discovered in this series that we are all called for a specific purpose in life. Every single one of us. That calling was placed on our lives before the day we were born. That's what the Bible says. And that calling was placed on our lives by our Creator, which makes it even more exciting. The moment that we say yes to Jesus, God begins to breathe life into that calling. He begins to say, yes, you've accepted my Son into your life. Now we can get on for the big adventure in life, you and I together. Last week we looked at the first of what I want to call like five callings or five purposes that kind of define and shape and mold and help us reach the calling that God has placed on our lives. But there are things that we have to experience or have to understand, I think, before we can really do what it is that God wants to do through us. And so last week, the first thing that we looked at is that we are all called to be loved. We're called to be loved. If you missed last week's sermon or even the past 2 weeks, I want to encourage you to go to vineyard05.com, go to our website, go to our Facebook page, get up to speed with where we are at, because I really believe this series is a life-changing series for some of us. Because I'm called to be loved. Well, everybody wants to be loved, right? But when we come to Jesus, a lot of us come to Jesus, and let's just be honest here, we are so messed up because life has beat us up, we've made bad decisions, we were dealt bad hands, and we realized that we needed something or someone better and bigger than ourselves to get us to the next place in life. And we reach out to Jesus. And God says, what I want you to do now, before you can do anything for me, I don't even want you to trust me yet. I don't even care if you obey me yet. I just want to love you. I want to help you get through all of that stuff that life has just kind of hit you up with. And I want to maybe help you unravel some of these things. I want to help you get to understand some of me. And I just want to love you. And sometimes, maybe we've been walking with the Lord for a long time, sometimes what we need to do is just dial it back a little bit and let God simply love us. And then we can get back into where we need to be. So the first thing is, we are called to be loved. And there's plenty of scripture, as we saw last week, that backs that up. Today, we're going to look at that second purpose, or we're going to look at another little calling that the Bible says that we have on us, and that is, we are all called to belong. That should say belong. Is that this week's? Go to the next slide real quick. Hebrews 2:10. Oh, I thought I changed that. Okay, we're called to belong. Is what that first slide should say. All right, now I'm all messed up. Okay, just keep it right there. All right, let's dial it back a little bit. Just dial it back. You know what happens is when I first get up here, I'm so amped up, you know, and then I'm like, I just flew off the track there for a minute. So, all right. So we are all called to belong. We are all called to belong to God's kingdom, to God's family, otherwise known as the church. This is God's family here. And God's kingdom, God's church, God's family is something that will last forever. It's eternal. However, it is up to each one of us to respond to the voice of God in order to receive and walk out that calling. Jesus will never say, you are going to love me regardless of where you're at in life because I want to love you, let's go. He simply waits for us to call upon him, and then we go. So Hebrews chapter 2 right here says, God, for whom and through whom everything was made. See that? God made everything out there. He chose to bring many children into glory, and it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them to their salvation. See, mankind was doing their own thing, and back in the day, the Jewish religious leaders were setting the bar so high on the people, they couldn't measure up to God's standards at all. And then so God says, hey, son, you want to please, you know, this is what your role is. So Jesus comes in the form of a man, the Son of God comes in the form of the man to share with the people what the kingdom of God is all about. And through that suffering, he allowed himself to be nailed to the cross so that Jesus would pay the debt for all of our sins. And because of that, he became the perfect leader for us. He is the only one fit to bring us into salvation because he knew no sin. He was nailed to that cross. His innocent shed blood is what gives him the authority to forgive us of our sins. Now, remember last week we talked about the fact that God created mankind so that he could have a family. He didn't create mankind so that we could just boop, do our own thing, mill around on the earth, be born, go through life, die, and that be it. God created us because he wanted somebody to be with. He wanted a family to love. And to me, that's like one of those mind-blowing things, like he's the God of everything. He could do anything he wants, but what he did was he created mankind in his own image so that he could have a family. And if this was not true, you and I would not be here. So it has to be true. God wanted a family to love. And when we find a church family to become a part of, we now have a place we call our church and a place that we belong to. And I'll back that up with a little bit of scripture. So Romans chapter 1, that's where we will start today, in verse 5. So this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome, and he's talking about, well, I'll explain here a little bit here. So Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and the authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. So Jesus came to preach the message to the Jewish people first. Well, they rejected him. Their time will come later on in life. Right now, it's time for the Gentiles. That's us. Anybody who is not a Jewish person is a Gentile. And so that's what Paul is trying to get them to understand. Listen, this message is for you. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. Right there it is. I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. We covered that one last week. But look, you are included among those Gentiles. Everybody in this room is included who have been called to belong to Jesus. We are called to belong to Jesus. Jesus has been trying to get our attention this whole time left. Those friends and family members and co-workers of yours that don't know Jesus, that you have been trying to think of ways to reach out to, Jesus is trying to do the same thing. And it's up to us to kind of team up with him and be that one that gets them to come into the kingdom. But what exactly does this mean? I'm called to belong to Jesus. If God calls me into his family so he can love me, and his family is the church, but yet part of that whole deal is that I am called to belong to Jesus, what does that mean for me? Well, I'm glad you asked, church, because we're going to look at that in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So this could be one of those passages where you're reading and you're just kind of like, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I'll just keep on reading until something hits me that I can understand. But this is some theology here. So we'll break it down to you. And really what I want to do is, just so you know how smart I am, I'm going to throw a little Greek out there for you. Because Greek tells somebody that, hey, this guy knows the Bible. The word church in the Bible, in the Greek, is ecclesia, which literally means the gathering or the summoned or they who are called out. All right, so if you want to just throw some Greek out, just say, I am a part of ecclesia. I am called by God. The modern day English word for that literally means people who are called by God. Okay? And when it says, we're going to touch on this a little bit later, and the church is his body, we are a body. We are the body of Christ. That's what we're defined as. You see, church is something we belong to. Church is relationships. It's relational. We worship our Creator here. Church isn't just a building, even though it is a building, okay? A restaurant is a building. You go there to eat a meal, maybe spend time with your family, or maybe have a lunch with a coworker, or a business lunch, or maybe you're dating and you go to a restaurant to enjoy a meal. But that's all it is. That's all that happens in there. It's a building. This church, this building, is where relationships grow, where we worship the Creator of everything we see, where we worship our Savior, the King of Kings, in here, in church. It's relationships. We gather here once a week so that Jesus can restore lives. Jesus, throughout the week, is trying to get people's attention, especially those who you've been inviting to church, so that they can come here and experience his presence. We reconcile ourselves with each other in church, as well as with the Father in heaven. It's reconciling. It's restoration. You see, the church is God's design for his people who have been called to him to come together and have fellowship with one another. That's what the church is. God designed his family, the church, as the one way for our needs here on earth to be met. All those things out there throughout the week that aren't meeting your needs, that you just feel like it's just not happening, can be met here at church. Relationships, your spirit, man, all those needs, all that emptiness, those holes, everything that you just can't seem to get plugged and get filled can be met here on Sunday mornings. For starters, when we belong to a good church and become a part of God's family in that church, we then begin to find out what our true identity is in Christ, who we were truly created to be, and what our real purpose in life is. See, our identity is shaped by our past experiences, the things that have happened to us, the things that we've done that we've made mistakes, the things that we hold on to that we will not let go of because we can't, because the hurt is so strong that I won't let go of it. Why do we carry that with us? Let go of it so that the restoration can begin. Because this, what happened back here, is not your identity. What happens here in the restoration process is how you find your true identity. Because if God created you, your true identity is found in him, in the relationships here and within the church. Does that make sense? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says this, "So now Jesus, and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. This is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Did you catch that? Jesus looks at you and me, and he calls us his brother and sister. That, to me, is a heavy verse. That, to me, carries a lot of weight. Because Jesus is the King of Kings. The Bible says one day every knee will bow to Jesus. Every demon, every spiritual being, every angel, every knee will bow under creation to the name of Jesus. They will bow because they are doomed for judgment, or they will bow because they are entering into the joy of their Lord. One or the other. We will recognize him as the King of Kings, the highest of highs, the one who has authority over all. But he says, you and me, we're brother and sister. I am the King of Kings, but I am also on your level. Don't you think that's cool? The creator of everything walks through life with you and me on our level, supplying us with an unlimited amount of resources to get us through life. We looked at that last week. He will knock things out of our way so we can go through the day, or if we get knocked down, he will give us the resources, the peace, the whatever it is that we need to get through that situation. And yet, he is the King of Kings. And Jesus is not ashamed of anybody in this room. He is not ashamed of anybody in this room. How do I know that? Because look, it says, this is why he is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. You see, we look at the things that we've done, we hold on to the things we've done and the things that have happened to us, and we carry around shame and guilt and condemnation and hurt feelings and anger and all of this stuff. And Jesus says, would you just let go of that? Because that is not who I see when I look at you. I see my brother, I see my sister, and I see somebody who I want to help restore and find their true identity so that you can become who I created you to be. Man, I think that's powerful. Now, because, here's why I just said all that. Because when we belong to his family, our sin no longer defines us. Jesus knows everything we're going to do. He knows what our weaknesses are. He knows what our struggles are. He knows what our addictions are. He knows that we're going to fly off the handle because we can't stand being around that coworker. He knows this. But he is not ashamed of you either, because when those things drag you down, and they might, the sooner you come to him, the sooner he can pick you up and get you going again. Our identity can no longer be defined by our past experiences or our relationships when we belong to a family where Jesus sees us as a brother and a sister. Once we're in God's family, we are family. We now belong, as Dom Toretto would say, family. I had to. Now, we may have some things that we have to work on in life. We all do. Even I'm constantly self-evaluating myself and holding myself accountable with other people and thinking, all right, God, you know, I really need to work on that, and let me just, you know, rough this corner out a little bit. And you know, I think that's good. Helps you in life. Just don't beat yourself up over it. Because once you're in God's family, you are in God's family. Moms and dads, when your kids mess up, do you beat them up over it or do you help them through it? What do you think God does with us? He wants to help us through it. We have the King of Kings as a brother. and he is not ashamed of his family. He is not ashamed of anybody in this room. So, one of the ways to kind of seal the deal of publicly declaring that we belong to God's family is what we're going to be doing at the end of this series, to get water baptized. Getting water baptized says to Jesus, I am in. I'm in. Even Jesus got water baptized, and he did not need to be. So he sets the example. And that's why we set water baptisms to be on the last series of this sermon, October 10th. Or sermon of the series. See, water baptism, it's symbolic. Jesus was on the cross, buried in a tomb for 3 days, rose from the dead in a new body, a glorified body. When we this is our baptism right up here. When you go down under that water, all of your sins, all of your old self stays in that water and it goes down that drain away. You come up a new person, symbolic, a new person in Christ. And so if you're thinking about getting water baptized, I want to encourage you, do it. Sign up, October 10th. And just as a little, I'm going to take a little route around the tree here and we'll come back. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, the disciple Peter, he preached a sermon. There was a big gathering in Jerusalem and thousands of people from all around were in town and all this crazy stuff was happening. The Holy Spirit showed up and Jesus preaches this sermon. And here's what it said. Here's what it says. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. So first we believe in Jesus, then we get water baptized, then we become a part of a church family. Sometimes we flip two and three around, it doesn't matter. Just get baptized. Do it. It will be a milestone in your Christian walk that you will always remember. I remember mine. I also remember it because it was a 40-degree day and the heater was not working in the baptism. It's freezing cold. But I remember it. It was a powerful day. It was really cool. So just going to throw that out there. Now, the Bible also refers to the church as the body. All right? The body of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5 say, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. See, we're family here. We belong to each other here. This is where we get connected with other like-minded believers. We each have a special role to play in the church. This is how we discover our true identity. This is how we discover our unique value in life. We weren't created to go through life alone. We weren't created to do all of this stuff by ourselves. We weren't created to be in isolation. With all the ways, listen to this, with all the ways that we have right now to stay connected to other people, right? Our phones, FaceTime, Google Meet, Zoom, what else is out there? Every single way we can talk with people all around the room and not even leave our kitchen. With all these ways that we have to stay connected, you know what the number one epidemic in America is right now? Loneliness. 36% of Americans are lonely. They deal with isolation. 61% of those are between the ages of 18 and 25. I wouldn't have thought that. Our young people are feeling more isolated than ever before, and I'm convinced it's because we're all on our devices. 51% are mothers with young children. Think about that. So, how do we fix that here in the church? We reach out to our young people. We make sure they know that we're there for them. You see a mother with a young child or children, you reach out and make sure that they know that you are there for them because we are family. We are called to belong to the church. If a young person walks past you on a Sunday morning or whatever, or a mom that's frazzled with young kids on a Sunday morning, man, you better ask them how they're doing. help them. Let them know there's people out there that care. Because what this statistic tells me is there is a lot of isolation, depression, anxiety running rampant in America today. And I'm convinced that a lot of that is sitting right here this morning. We cannot be who God created us to be without a church family, without a body of believers to belong to. We will never fulfill our purpose in life on our own. We never will. In other words, it's like this. My hand cannot perform its God-given function if it's not attached to my arm. My arm cannot perform the function that it's supposed to if it's not attached to my shoulder, my torso. Everything belongs everywhere. And all of this can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If I just read that whole chapter to you today, we could have been done with this in 10 minutes. But instead, I'm going to read some more from you. I want to read one verse from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. It's just one verse, and it's up on the screen. But I like reading from the Bible because it shows that this stuff comes from the Bible, and I'm just not putting it up there. Verse 16. He, God, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That right there is the definition of a church family, right there. All of us fit together perfectly. All of our different quirks and personalities and all of these different things about each one of us that's different than the person sitting next to you fits perfectly together in this church family. So that we can help others grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Doesn't that sound like a good thing to be a part of? This is the description of God's family. This is the description of the church. The place where we belong and find our identity. And this is where we care for others and others care for us as we go through life together. There's a whole lot of stuff that's going to start happening tomorrow and go through till Friday. And then Saturday, you probably have football games to watch. And then you'll be here Sunday morning and you'll hope that you get all of this taken care of again. But see, Sunday morning doesn't just fill the needs that we need filled. Because a healthy church has healthy small groups. Small groups are the heartbeat of a healthy church. You got to belong to a small group. You've got to become, we call them life groups. See, none of this passage right here could happen if relationships are not being formed in small groups, in life groups. And so my second plug for today is this. It's not your car's extended warranty. It's a directory that we have in our bulletin with all of our life groups in them, our small groups. Two times a year we promote our small groups, September and February. And we're working on getting a really nice display out there. This time it's going to be beautiful. It might even have pictures of the leaders on there. But listen, there is a small group for everybody in this church. We have men's groups. We have ladies' groups. We have what we call community groups. My wife and I, anybody can come, you know, doesn't matter. I think we're going to have a married group. Just all kinds of groups at this church, okay? Find one and start going to it. Because that is where all of this really starts happening. See, Sunday morning is what we call going wide. Life groups is where you go deep. Life groups is where the friendships are started. You know, Kim and I have been leading a group for, gosh, forever it seems like. And you know what? We meet the second and fourth Sunday of the month here at the church, and half the time I don't even want to go to my own group. I'm like, it'd just be easier just to hang out at home. So busy, life. Let's just hang out at home. Well, Chip, you lead the group. You know what? Every time, I always leave fulfilled. Whether three people show up or 15 people show up. There's something special about small groups, about just being with people. It doesn't even matter if we do a teaching or we just hang out. That's where relationships are formed. You know what else is found in a small group? A 2 a.m. friend. You know what a 2 a.m. friend is? It's somebody you can reach at any time during the day or night who will be there for you. You need a friend like that? Start going to a small group. You go to a small group and you're like, these people are weird. I'm not going back. This is why I don't go to small groups. Well, okay, that's the weird one. Go check out another one. Our group could be the weird one. I don't know. It'll be my fault, I know. But listen, you know what? Here's what else. This isn't even in my notes. I'm going to sidetrack here for a minute. You know what happens when a bunch of people are together? Sometimes we start rubbing people the wrong way and we get our feelings hurt because somebody said something or somebody did something. And then we say to ourselves, well, that's why I don't become a part of this stuff. You know what? Don't buy into the lies of the devil, okay? Because you don't say that when your coworker rubs you the wrong way. You don't say, this is why I'm never coming back here tomorrow. No, you go back and you endure it. You know what? Just pray about it. Pray about it. Because people are, if you are here, this is your church family, we are all called, we fit together perfectly. Amen. Perfectly. And you know what? Maybe it's you that's rubbing the other person the wrong way. Well, I don't want to say that one. there's another church, Life Church that we planted. They have a thing called Stick Six or something. You know, if you're visiting here, try visiting us for six times and see if you like it. Just give it some time. I guarantee you will find people that are like you and you can become a part of and find good friends. So there you go. Life groups, join one today. And so here's a question too. Who's looking out for you? And who are you looking out for? So that we can do this thing together. Again, we need each other to learn from and to look out for. We are all different, and we all have different experiences from life that shape who we are. And these are the very things that God uses to help people around you. The things that I've gone through in life, I already know, like when God brings somebody into my life and I hear what they're going through and things like that, I'm like, oh, my past experiences and where God has brought me from is what I am supposed to use to help this guy. God will bring people into your lives that you've been through so you can help them, and He will bring people into your lives that they've been through that they can help you. It's how it works. That's the kingdom of God at work right there. I am convinced, listen, if we are not part of a small group, that we're really not connected. He's coming here on Sundays. You're getting a little bit of the needs filled, but you're really not going deep. You're plugging the hole with tape, and then eventually the water starts dripping through again. This is why part of our calling is to belong, to get connected. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says this: all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Nobody in here should feel isolated. You're here because God brought you here, and you're a part of this body. And I'll bring it home with this. Maybe you've gone through life trying to fit in and trying to find a place to belong. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here. Maybe you've spent your whole life or many, many years trying to find a place to belong. Maybe all you've ever wanted was to be accepted and have a place where you belong. Well, we will be your family here at Vineyard Community Church. If what I just said sunk to your core, we will be your family. We are your family. You belong here. That's why you're sitting here listening to these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 and 25. Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. You're here because he wants you here. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. We're all here so we can do this together, so we can look out for each other, so we can find our true identity and our purpose in life and live in harmony with each other and our Creator. Regardless of who you are or what your past looks like, you belong here and you are welcome. See, the church, we are supposed to be the hope to the world. We are supposed to bring hope to those around us. The church is the gospel of restoration. It's the good news of Christ Jesus that restores lives, changes hearts, brings people together, restores marriages, and breathes life where darkness once ruled. The church is God's purpose for our lives, and it is where we belong. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for today. God, I thank you for this message. I thank you, Jesus, for the person or the people that this message just, you know, you just, this is what I needed. And I ask, Lord God, that as we move into a time of worship, you know, last week ministry was powerful, powerful stuff. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move in this room, that you would give a sense of belonging, God. That you would break through those walls, that you would break through the defenses that we've built up because we've been hurt in the past. That you would begin the restoration process of community again in people's lives, God. Jesus, that you hit them so hard that they break down in tears because of the love that they know that is here for them, God. Bless them immensely, Lord Jesus. Bless us immensely, God. I also feel compelled to pray for those who are like, I need something to do with my life. I'm in a small group. I come to church. God, I ask you to put faces in their minds during worship today for the people you want them to reach out to on Sunday mornings, God. While they're here, that they may find their purpose during worship today, Lord God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Whew. Well, let's stand.